We'll open up to Romans 12. If you couldn't tell from this morning's services, the transformation is on the mind of the Holy Ghost and being transformed. I went back and listened to a message I did here back in 2013 on a Sunday night. And we're not going to pass in review, but I am going to put you a little bit in remembrance of that. The title of that message was, Caterpillars Can't Fly, which sounds really simple, but most of the church is trying to fly with the mindset of a caterpillar. They're not. Nathan's message this morning was really profound. Renewing of the mind is way more than knowledge. And we're going to get into that some here tonight. But let's just start from the beginning. Again, here lately it seems like my services are more of a classroom setting. Same thing tonight. Get your fingers limbered up. We're going to look at some scriptures and might want to make some notes. So Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the really important word, they're all important, but the one that we have not really understood is where it says, be you transformed. That word transformed in the Strong's is G3339, and it is the word metamorpho. Does that remind you of an English word we use today? Metamorphosis, which is the process that describes a caterpillar going through that transformation process in that little cocoon thingy. It goes in as a caterpillar that can't fly. All it can do is crawl. It crawls and it eats. Sounds like Christians to me. No, anyway. The point of it is, though, it's caterpillar and it's doing what it does. But you could take that caterpillar and send it to butterfly school, and it could read every book about how to fly. It could become the most educated caterpillar. You could renew that caterpillar's mind to aerodynamics, thrust, lift, everything there is to know. That caterpillar could teach seminars on flying, but it could not fly itself because caterpillars can't fly. See, this word metamorpho is more than knowledge. It is literally, it means, again, this is Strong's transformation. It doesn't help a whole lot. It says metamorpho means to transform, to change, to transfigure, to transform. None of that really helps me. Okay, it sounds pretty much like the same thing. So let's, what I did, it only occurs four times in all the New Testament. So let's look at all four. This will help you, I think, more than the definition. Matthew 17:2, talking about Jesus. This is when they were up on the Mount of Transfiguration. It's the same Greek word. It's metamorpho. Talking about Jesus, and he was transfigured. That's the word. He was transfigured, metamorphosed, before them. Well, what happened when he was transfigured? His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. What you're seeing there, I don't know how you picture that in your mind. You know, play a little movie, you know. The way I understand that, okay, I'm going to date myself now, but there was a movie that came out quite a few years ago called Cocoon. In that movie Cocoon, they were being invaded really by aliens. These aliens would put on an earth suit, and they looked just like anybody else until it was sort of a zipper. they'd unzip the suit. When they stepped out, they were shining bright, light, white. They were these creatures from another world. That's exactly what's happening. What you're seeing is not Jesus' glorified body, I don't think. But you are seeing His Spirit. You're seeing the real, the life? You're seeing who He was on the inside. Now, here is the amazing thing. If you are born again, you have exactly that same Spirit on the inside of you. Now, we don't believe that. We still think we're caterpillars. But the truth of the matter is, if somehow we could take Alina there and find that zipper, soup. Now, not her clothes, but her flesh, and the real Helena step out, she's going to shine just the same because she's got the same Spirit. See, now this transfiguration, I'm going to read you a translation in a minute that does a really good job. But basically what it's talking about, what you are on the inside already, like Jesus, all of the, now it doesn't mean you're going to shine on the outside like that. But what's going to happen, all of the attributes of who you really are is going to come just from the, not just be on the inside anymore, but it's going to come to the outside. And it's more than knowledge. Knowledge is involved. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But knowledge not acted upon? What does James say about that? If you're just a hearer of the Word only, you're deceiving your own self. You'll never fly. Let's say it that way. You'll never fly until you become a doer of the Word. We're coming to that place now where it's time where the rubber meets the road. And it's just hearing alone is not good enough. Stepping out. And Alan brought this out again this morning. I love watching the two services. To me, Nathan, now you guys, I don't know what you think about Nathan and Alan. I highly esteem both of them. To me, Nathan is like a Jeremiah to his generation. He reminds me of the prophet. I'm not calling him a prophet, but he's got attributes like that. Every prophet I've ever known is black and white. There is no gray. Yeah, thus saith the Lord, do this or die. Let's go have lunch. There's no mercy gift at all. It's just, this is what saith the Lord, do this or die. Let's go have lunch. And you can try, you can bribe, you can cajole, you can beg, trying to get more out of them. And finally, I found out dealing with one, it's not that they won't give you more. They don't have any more. A prophet, all they do is say what God says. That's it. Now, here comes Alan, you know, with a more of a pastoral gift, and basically teaches Nathan, and I love both of you guys. I hope I'm not getting in trouble. But the way I understand, it's like he's teaching Nathan's message with mercy. They're both the same message, but one has a little more mercy, you know. But it doesn't take away from the first one. See, God's got Nathan on a mission to his generation. He does. Nathan's a man on a mission from, you know, he's on a mission from God, but so is Alan. God's using all of these gifts together. Highly esteem all of them. I was listening. I'm going, you're talking to me through Nathan this morning. He's talking to me. I don't know about you, but I heard some things. But then he's also talking with me through Alan's message too. See, understanding who we are, this transformation process. So tonight, again, one way, I think that's a better definition of the word metamorpho. Seeing what happened with Jesus. He was literally transformed. What we got to see there, what they got to see, and what we get to see through the Word, is the transformation from the human Jesus, the flesh man, to the spirit man. And it was a metamorphosis. It was a metamorpho, a transfiguration. It occurs four times. The second one is really just talking about the same event, and it's Mark chapter 9, verse 2. It says, after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter, James, and John, leads them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. Same word. But now, okay, then Romans 12:2 is the third one. That's where we are. Now, there's one more, and this one's important. Turn to this one. Well, they're all important. 2 Corinthians 3. And these are the only four times that this word occurs in all the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. This is how I know that Paul is Southern. But we all. Y'all, we all, anyway. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass. Now, that's a mirror. He's talking about a looking glass, okay? Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are changed. There's your word, metamorpho. Transformed into a lesser image. What? I'm at the right church. Into this. See, if this wasn't in my Bible, I'd slap whoever wrote it. I mean, you know, somebody preached this and I couldn't find it in my Bible, I'd slap their face right off. Because this is just almost more than my human mind can take. This, what God has done for us. Honey, we are not caterpillars. That's what he's trying to get across to us. We are changed, metamorphosed, into the same image. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, Paul writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, now we see through a glass darkly. For years I misunderstood that. I thought it was talking about a window, like a dirty window. It's not. It's talking about a mirror there also. Now we're looking through a glass darkly. And I was so ingrained in me growing up in a denominational church because it was always taught the same. Now we see in part and we know in part. And the whole point was when we get to heaven, it'll all make sense. Well, duh. That's going to be a little late to cast out devils. That's going to be a little late to heal the sick. It's going to be a little late to preach the gospel. It doesn't do me a whole lot of good if all that's put off till heaven. And I love how Alan teaches that. He says, no, he said, it's talking about going from a child whom God can only use in the gifts to a son. Ladies, you're sons as much as I am. We're all sons. To a son matured into love. And that glass, it says, now we see through a glass darkly. We see it darkly. What? It's the same kind of glass. But I'm looking as a child, as immature, I don't understand righteousness yet. I don't really know who I am. I'm still pretty caterpillar-minded. Gary's just a slug. Caterpillar. And I look in that mirror, and it's dim. I don't see a clear reflection there, see? Because who I'm supposed to be seeing, it's me, but it's Christ in me. The whole point is I am to go through a metamorpho to let the Christ in me come to the surface. But now, here's where we're going. I'll just tell you this. That Christ in you and you. Now, those that can't see me by video, I'm taking my left hand, Christ in you. I'm taking my right hand, you. Christ in you and you. Paul trying to describe it. It's no longer I who live, that's my right hand. But it's Christ, my left hand, who liveth in me. Well, yet I live, right hand, yet not I, back and forth. What's going on there? What happens? As Christ, as that metamorphosis takes place, there is coming a blending of your spirit and his spirit. You can't find where one ends and the other begins. And that's really what Paul wrote when he says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. That's another day. I'm excited. Can y'all tell I'm excited? What's going on right now? Okay, we're about to see the things that we have dreamed of all these years. How did Dave say that? You're going to be a happy camper. Going to be glad you hung around. Going to be glad you stuck with the message. Okay. We are changed. We are metamorphosed. It's more than a caterpillar acquiring knowledge. Literally changed to a butterfly. All right. Get to page 2. But now get this. The converse is also true. While the Lord was... It's amazing how Nathan and Alan can preach and the Lord can preach to me at the same time. I heard this morning. I showed it to Angie when the sentence came to my brain. Butterflies should not be crawling on the ground. You see, the truth of it is, you're not a caterpillar. If you're born again, what are you? You're a butterfly. See, in the same way that caterpillars can't fly, what the church is full of is butterflies crawling on the ground that think they can't fly. And that's, isn't that good? Lord's a good preacher, I'm telling you. I've been thinking, I couldn't get away from that all day. I've been thinking about that. Is that me? God, is that what you're saying? See, for years I couldn't get past the thought I'm just no caterpillar saved by grace. I'm just a slug. You know, you ever seen one of them big white slugs crawling along the ground, you know? Yeah, that's me. Have mercy on me. I'm just a slug, you know? And it took him forever to get me past that, but now I'm going, no, I made you into a butterfly, but why are you crawling like a slug? He's already done that change on the inside. If we unzipped you, you'd find that same glory in your spirit already in there. How do we get that from the inside to the outside? So let me read this little transformation, this little paragraph. Butterflies should not be crawling earthbound on the ground. Now, in truth, in your spirit, the transformation has already occurred. Your spirit has been metamorphosed. You have gone from darkness to light. You have become not a child of the devil, but a child of God. Again, if we could unzip you and look on the inside at your spirit, I have no doubt you would shine just like Jesus shone, because it's the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Okay? This was the nugget. The truth, the gold from Nathan's message this morning. Listen, that renewal process is more than knowledge. Hey, now how many times have we heard Nathan teach? Nathan's not against studying the Word. I've heard him teach and teach and teach about it. But he is exactly right. Ultimately, knowledge alone does not renew the mind. The mind bowing the knee. Well, I used to bow. I'm not going to bow. I might crack too much standing back up anyway. It's the mind bowing to that new man on the inside. It is the natural mind bowing to the spiritual mind and yielding to that mind more than knowledge. It's yielding to you. You are truth. You are the boss. Jesus is Lord through you. The natural mind, that is the renewing process as the natural mind gets off the horse, becomes the servant, running along beside the master, the spirit man up on the horse. What would you have me do? Now that is renewing of the mind. Okay? In that process, the natural mind, you have to lose all of this. What about me? What about me? What about me? It's not about you anymore. It was about you till you got saved. Now it's about you being renewed and transformed because he's got a lot of other people to get saved. You've got a part in that process. Now, not everybody's an evangelist. Not everybody's a teacher. I've heard a lot. But everybody has got a calling. And we're going to get to that here in just a minute. Have y'all ever heard of the Wiest translation? It's kind of rare now. If you have eSword, which is the Bible software program I use, you can purchase it for $9.99 through there. Nearly all scholars agree that the Wiest translation is the most accurate from the Greek. It's a little bit difficult to read sometimes because it doesn't change the tenses to make it easy for the Anglo mind, the English-speaking mind, to understand. But it's pretty clear. And what's funny, they say, if you'll just stay with his translation, it's pure of all agenda. Because he was really good at just translating. In other words, a Greek-speaking person listening to Paul, this is what that person would have heard. Now, if you read the commentary, then you get the guy's opinion. So I don't have the commentary. I don't even own it. But I do have the translation. Let me read you Romans 12, 1 and 2. Out of the Wiest, that's W-U-E-S-T, if you want to find it, W-U-E-S-T, translation of the Bible, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I therefore beg of you, please, brethren, through the instrumentality of the aforementioned mercies of God, by a once for all presentation, to place your bodies at the disposal of God. A sacrifice, a living one, a holy one, well-pleasing, your rational, sacred service. God, that's good. That's good right there. Now here, listen. And stop assuming an outward expression that does not come from within you and is not representative of what you are in your inner being, but is patterned after this age. Did you hear that? I want to read it again. Stop assuming an outward expression that does not come from within you. Now, see, that's exactly what Nathan was teaching this morning. His outward expression, the example he used was to, as that marijuana came around the circle and coming up to him, the old outward expression was to smoke it. But the new man on the inside does not smoke marijuana. So he was having this choice. Here it comes. It's coming closer. It's coming around the circle to him. And the Holy, that new nature on the, not the Holy Spirit, the new nature on the inside of him was saying, this is not who you are. Stop conforming on the outside to what you're not on the inside. And he had to get up and run like a scalded dog. Get away from there, see. Stop assuming an outward expression that does not come from within you and is not representative of what you are in your inner being, but is patterned after this age. But change your outward expression to one that comes from within and is representative of your inner being. By the renewing of your mind, resulting in your putting to the test what is the will of God, the good and well-pleasing and complete will, and having found that it meets specifications, place your approval upon that. So as the marijuana was coming around, who he is on the inside, it's not even the Holy Ghost, it's his new nature. That's not who you are anymore. You don't need to do that anymore. And his natural mind was going, what? I remember when it happened to me. The very first 2 weeks that I was born again, I wasn't even going to church hardly. You know, we'd maybe been to two services. But there was a new sheriff in town on the inside of Gary. And he was preaching to me. Made me get all the pornography out of the house that I've been spending money on for a long time. Had them all in plastic sleeves. I wasn't ashamed of my porn. I was so perverted. I'd show it to people to come over for lunch, you know. Hey, did you see the latest issue? Look around here. That's a pretty one right there. Now, see, I didn't look like that then like I look now, okay? Anyway. A little younger. Anyway. Yeah. But I mean, the first week or two. I mean, I think in the first week only. If that preacher was preaching to me 24/7, I couldn't get away from it. I couldn't do any. You need to get that out of the house. That's got to go. You can't have that here. No. And it wasn't very long. We bagged them all up and out they went, you know. Then he started on my music. And after listening to Nathan, my music was really tame. Mike Ryan was telling me back there. He said, man, your music was, it wasn't nothing. I never even heard of these groups that Nathan's talking about. Angie has. I said, have you ever heard of these? He said, oh, yeah. And in my day, he went after my music because to me it was an idol. It may not have been as idolatrous as Nathan, but it was an idol to me. It really was. And it had to go. And I did. The Rage Against the Machine? Is that what he said? That's a group. Anyway, he held that one back to last or something, right? Well, I held back, and I know to some it's nothing, but I held back Bad Company. Bomb, 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 Bad Company. Okay, I got some head going over here. All right. I hit it like God wouldn't see it. I mean, come on, it's ridiculous, you know. But I did. I hit it in the closet, and then I forgot that I hit it, and I found it years later when we moved, and I was so embarrassed. I never even listened to it again. I forgot it was there. But anyway, we moved and I saw it. I was so embarrassed. I said, oh, God, I'm sorry. And I got rid of that one, too. You know, 20 years. It took about 20 years before that idol died on the inside of me. Before we had hardly anything in the house to listen to music on. I got rid of all. Our stereo went. Radio went. All went. That was me. I'm not telling. See, that's the thing. You have got to listen to the Holy Spirit. You got to listen to that nature. That nature that he gave you is a 100% accurate compass. when it comes to holiness and righteousness. And it knows what you need. What might be an idol to me may not be an idol to you at all. See, he went after Nathan's coffee, and glory to God, he's never said anything to me about coffee. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I got to do a little chicken walking on that one right there. I tell you what. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, the chicken walking. When you, Holy Ghost, come on in now. You know, I can't. Sorry. Isn't that Weiss translation? Is that not perfect? Is that not the same metamorpho that we see on the Mount of Transfiguration? See, Jesus was the one that let everything he was on the inside be expressed on the outside. Who he really was, that's who we got to see. Now, what the world needs now reminds me of a song. Anyway, what the world needs now. Hey, we have some fun in church, okay? What the world needs now. See, what is the mystery? Not the mysteries. What is the mystery of the gospel? Christ in you. You butterfly. Christ is in you. He has melded, merged, mingled, coupled with... You and him have become so one. The Bible, the only thing it can use is marriage. It says, as the two become one. He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. He's in you. And this metamorphosis is where our natural mind, little by little, I wish it was all in one day, but it progressively bows. I'm not in charge anymore. The natural mind, I'm not in charge anymore. See, and that's when you start believing God. God will tell you something. When God usually talks to you to do something, it's normally beyond your ability to do it. We just take money first. I mean, money's easy for everybody. You know, I recently heard another story. I may have already told this. Forgive me if I did. About Lester Summerall. And this guy was in the inner circle. He was with Lester for years. And this one particular station, TV station, became available for $10 million. But Lester had to pay for it in 30 days. And this fellow who's telling the story was on the inside. He was in the inner. He says, Lester said, well, sure, we'll take it. I need that station. God's word needs to go out over that station because it reaches an area where we haven't gone yet. Yeah, we'll take it. Well, you got to have the $10 million here in 30 days. We'll do it. And this guy says, I know for a fact there was about $500 in the whole ministry account that day. The day that Lester said, we'll take it. $500. Now, that's what I mean. Normally, when God has you do something, it's usually not in your checkbook to do it. It's usually beyond your ability. Now, we're starting with money. We're going to come to healing in a minute, see? You hear what I'm saying? Well, time went by. And they did let people know about it. You know, and, hey, this station is available. We need $10 million by in 30 days. If you'd like to help us, send in the money. And now all that time, only about $2,000 had come in about a month. And they're on like day 29. And there's a phone call comes for Lester. And this rich couple somewhere says, the numbers might be slightly off here, but it's close enough. The principle is correct. We just wanted you to know that the Lord told us to send you a check for $900,000. It was almost to the penny what they needed if you put it together with that little bit that had come in. But it was on the 29th, and Lester said, well, that's good. I'm glad you're going to do that. But we need the money tomorrow. And they said, well, that's why we mailed the check yesterday. See, our dependence has to come on God. Have faith in God. See? And now, some people would try that in presumption. This Lester had been walking with the Lord a long time. It doesn't start out at the $10 million level. I can tell you for sure it starts out at the $5 level, the $10 level. He that's faithful in little, God watches. You know? I heard Kenneth Hagin say near the end of his ministry, he says in the early, he says, it was easier for him in those last 10 or 20 years, he said, it was easier for me now to believe God for $10 million than it was in the early days to believe him for 50. There's a growth process. It's a metamorpho. But I see the same God. Lester didn't have no 10 million. Who's he trusting in? See, he's trusting in, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God knows what you have need of before you know you have need of it. What God is looking for is faith and trust and love and obedience. And Lester had that in spades. See? And here it comes. Well, that same God that provides finances, guess what? He heals the sick when you lay hands on them. That's where our mind has to be renewed. He heals the sick. Go ahead and open. Go. I'm half in tongues here tonight, I think. Go to 1 Kings chapter 6. Now, I want to show you there's a balance here, see? It's almost like I see what... Sometimes I watch these services as they're going on here, and we're almost in a ping pong thing. Nathan comes on, and it's basically, go ye! Or Gary, here lately, go ye! You got hands? Yes. You got the name of Jesus? Yes. You're quick. Go! And right on the other hand, the next service, you need to pray in tongues. You need to fast. You need to worship. Well, I thought I needed to go ye. Well, no, maybe I need to go seek ye. Which... it's both. See, it's both. Now, this verse, I taught this at a conference years ago. I haven't taught it again in a long time. But put this one in your arsenal. This is really good. It is a type and a shadow from the Old Testament. They're building the temple of God. Now, see, you know individually, just a week or two ago, we did one called Honor the God Who Walks in You. And we stressed the fact that you individually, by yourself, are the temple of God. But get this, we collectively are the temple of God. And get this, every Christian on earth, all of us together, are the temple of God. So let me say it a little differently tonight. You individually are the temple of God. Where you go, God goes. You are light. When you walk in the room, darkness has to go because light came. Devils should run when you walk in the room. They should tremble in fear. Amen? But right on the other hand, not everybody is called to the same callings. You know, Paul uses that analogy of the temple. He uses the analogy of the body. Well, hey, I've got a body, you know. I've got all kinds of parts. My liver doesn't do what my lungs do. My lungs don't do what my pancreas does. And my heart doesn't do what any of them do. Every part of me needs to function at perfection at what it does. Amen? Well, all of us have a part. Let me put it for this teaching we're about to look at. Now, in the natural, if it was a big stone temple, you're one of the stones. God will shape you to fit in your place in that temple wall. You got that? 1 Kings, look at this. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7. Now, it says the house, but it's talking about the temple. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. So now get the picture. For those that can not see me, I'm standing in a certain spot, and this is where the temple is being built. But it's being built out of stones, one stone at a time. Amen? Where do the stones come from? Now, I'm moving over to the quarry. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. It's Q-U-A-R-R-Y. And from where I'm from, it's quarry. But I know it's quarry. Quarry. It's where you cut out the limestone. And nowadays, they drill down, they'll blast, and it comes in big chunks. And I don't know how they did it then, but anyway, eventually somebody has to dress, that means cut, precisely, each individual stone. And that stone, every stone has a place in the wall of the temple. See, most Christians, we want to come to church to be cut. Come to church to be changed. Come to church to be prepared. Well, there is some truth to that. The fivefold is supposed to grow you up. into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We are supposed to do that, all right. But that's hearing alone. We keep coming back to the same thing. Hearing is not transformation. If you don't ever act on what you hear, Lord, I've been here so long. I have seen them come by the, I would say hundreds, but I think by now it might be thousands over all these years. They love hearing the message. They love hearing Dave teach. They love the miracles. They'll hang around tongues for 20 years, but they don't ever really do it. Not really do it. And if you don't ever do it, you're a hearer only. And somewhere down the low road, what happens to all of them? Well, it don't work. They may not say it just that way, but that's really what it comes to. And they leave for one reason or another. But see, coming to church, look at that verse again. In the house, there was not heard the sound of any tool doing any shaping. Where is the shaping done? Shaping is done over in the quarry. That's where you get, not in church. That's where you get alone with God. That's where the Holy Spirit works on you. He knows your calling. You know, I am a teacher, so He's cutting a teaching stone here. Okay? He's preparing a teaching stone. If you're an evangelist, He's preparing an evangelist stone. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're in the ministry of helps, He's preparing your entrepreneurship. But all of that work is done in the quarry, not in the church. And that's what people miss. I want Dave to pray and I will change. No, if Dave prays, Dave changes. I want Gary to fast. Everyone wants Gary to fast. I want Gary to fast and I'll change. You got to do your own changing. You got to do your own fasting. The stones are prepared in the quarry. So it's not a one-time thing, see? Okay. The ultimate of that, you can fall off in the ditch there. Well, I'm just going to join a monastery. And for the next 25 years, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to witness. All I'm going to do is pray and fast. Do you think that is God's will? That Jesus said, go ye and preach, and they hold up and shut up. No, it's both. You come to church. You hear the word. God teaches and ministers and if you need it, if you need help to get in the line, whatever it takes. But then the real work is when you go, your home, and I don't mean your physical home, your private time is your quarry. Your private time is your quarry where you get alone with the Holy Ghost. And that's where He deals with your bad company album. That's where He deals with insecurity. Again, today, what is that? Not insecurity, unworthiness. Alan can almost feel unworthiness, people dealing with that. Well, that's something the Holy Ghost will get rid of. If you ever get the Snicker Bar revelation, you'll be free of that. That's the first message I ever taught in the prisons. I still remember it. Who in here would pay $10,000 for a Snicker Bar? Nobody would. Because a Snicker Bar is not worth that to you. But what did the Father pay for you? What price was paid? The highest price in the universe. The blood of His own Son. Get over your unworthiness. He thought you were worth that price. You are everything to Him. And I mean just you alone. If you're the only one. It's good stuff. I want to end here with a... Can you see that though? The quarry, your private time. That's where you go and you do the word. You pray, you fast, you get alone with God, you listen. He may give you assignments like He did me. Confess the word 4 hours a day. He may have you driving groceries over to somebody's house at midnight somewhere in a lot richer neighborhood than where you live, and you can't understand why, but He wants it done anyway. He'll have assignments for you, see? But then you come back to church. Boy, I'm telling you, we're going to start seeing some things. Now, what's going to happen too? Your seek ye and go ye are going to become your whole life. That's the way it was with Jesus. He'd go spend all night in prayer. Sometimes He'd let them go with Him. Most of the time He wouldn't. But they'd watch that pattern. He'd go seek ye. He'd go spend time with the Father, what I mean. Boy, when he'd come out and go ye, power, miracles, everything, then he'd go seek ye, then he'd come go ye. That's our life too. Seek ye and go ye. Okay, that's good. All right. I made a few notes here. Now you ought to write these down or write them down tomorrow after it's posted at the website. Number one, we are not to be educated caterpillars who cannot fly. That's most of the church, by the way. You know what Charles Finney said? And again, I'm not saying this is the case here at all. Charles Finney said, there's way more unsaved people in the church than there are saved ones. His whole ministry was to get people saved who were churchgoers. He says there's lots of convicted sinners. Not that many born again. See, that if that is the case, now, and again, it's not. I'm not even thinking this church. I know that's not the. I know where he's talking. Where I'm, not the churches I grew up in, but later on in business, lots of churches are where business happens. That's where you go so you get in the know, and you get to meet the right people and know the right people. It's basically a big social club with Jesus' name over the door. It's all about business and prosperity and things. Okay, I'm getting a few nods. I know this one fellow that went to a church in South Africa for 45 years and never got saved. Why? Never once heard the gospel in 45 years. They talked about philosophy. They talked about politics. They talked about events. They talked about being nice. They talked about living clean. They talked about health. They talked about diet. They talked about everything but the cross. And finally, he went with a bunch of guys on a hunting trip. And really, he thought it was a hunting trip. Yeah, it was a hunting trip. They were hunting for lost souls. They had him out there where he couldn't get away. And around the campfire that night, they preached the gospel. He said, I got saved the first time I ever heard it. There's whole churches like that. That's what Finney was running into up in, you know, he was mainly up in the New England area, up in there, you know. And he said, the church is full. They're convicted. They don't want to go to hell, but they've never surrendered to Christ. That's a whole other deal. We are not to be educated caterpillars who cannot fly. I don't really think that applies to you listening to me. But the second one, truth of the matter is we are butterflies. And we are not to be earthbound butterflies through an unrenewed mind. That's most of your spirit-filled church. Genuinely born again, genuinely spirit-filled, but with a mind that's not submitted to the Spirit. Okay? Number three, we are to be transformed, metamorphosed to the mystery of the gospel, which is Christ in you. That's the whole metamorphosis, being transformed to that. Okay? Number four, when we look in the mirror of God's Word, we see us because we see Jesus. That mirror is you, but it's Jesus in you looking back at you. Do you want chapter and verse for that? As He is, so are we in this world. Number five, we are to believe His words. Now here comes a part of submitting your natural mind to the Spirit. My words are spirit. My words are life. How about submitting to this? We're to believe this. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Your natural mind has to submit under that, or you're never going to lay hands on the sick. Okay? He said, it's the Father in me that doeth the works. The Father sent him here to destroy the works of the devil. I had this little vision where the Father, before he sent him, said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. And so Jesus believed that. And he acted on it and God did it. Well, now he's telling us the same thing. Whatever you ask, I'm sending you on the same mission. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. And our natural mind has to be renewed to that. We have to bring it under submission to that truth. So that leads to verse number six. We are to believe that when we lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Because he said so. Now, what if you lay hands? I'm going to go ahead and do this. What if you lay hands on them and they die? Does that change the Word of God? It tells me back to the quarry. But it doesn't mean I'm going to quit laying hands on the sick. See? It's a seek ye and go ye. I'm going to go back to the quarry, but I'm going to continue the next one. I'm going to lay hands on the sick. He didn't relieve me of that. My job is to transform to it, not run from it. And now this one deserves a whole message, but I'm going to give it to you in 5 minutes. Well, that for a love offering of 19. Do y'all know the difference between a private pilot's license and a commercial license? You can get a private pilot license, and basically you are licensed to fly on the basis of line of sight. In other words, you don't have to be instrument rated. They'll teach you somewhat about this is the radar, this is your altimeter, this is this, and this is that. But you don't have to become instrument rated if you're only going to fly yourself. And actually, I think you're allowed to fly 2 or 3, maybe. There's a limit. Okay, but you don't have to be instrument. Now, instrument rated, you know what that is? Instrument rated is when the fog came, you can't see anything. You don't know if the mountain's in front of you. They can become so disoriented. They think they're going straight and they're actually going down gradually, or they're going left gradually, or they get way off course. And you don't know where you are by line of sight because you can't see. Well, to get a commercial license, you have to be instrument rated. You have to learn to depend on the instruments no matter what your physical senses are telling you. You may think you're here, but in truth, those instruments are telling you you're there. And you have to not rely on your physical senses. You have to learn to trust and become instrument rated. Trust the instruments so you can land the plane even when you can't see the runway. God is training us. You want to become instrument rated? Here's your instrument right here. This is what you have to believe. No matter what you see, no matter how you feel that day, no matter if they died when you prayed for them, how does that change the instrument? The combination of this and being led by the Spirit, that is instrument rated. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what you see. What does the instrument say? God is training us to become instrument rated. Instrument rated. I operate on this. That's why Smith Wigglesworth wouldn't even let, I said his name earlier, Lester, bring that newspaper in there. That newspaper very often disagreed with the instrument. See, he says, no. In my house, there's only truth. You can't bring that in here. It's full of lies. We're going to get so protective of who we are, our mind, our spirit. I'm just going to fly by the instruments. I'm going to fly by the instruments. And we are going to see the results. Okay, I got to quit. Ooh, I'm excited about where we're going. I tell you, I like this. I like this. The Word of God is our aid and our leadership, and the leadership of the Spirit is our instrument. Glory to God. Become instrument rated if you want to fly.